Hey, podcast listeners, still standing on the sidelines when you could be getting paid to play? Well, all your favorite NBA and college basketball teams are in action, and there's no better time to make sure you're betting with the best. BetDSI is one of the most reliable and profitable online sports books. Bet on the NBA, college basketball, MLB, UFC, NHL, and much more. It's your all-access pass for everything. And not only are there super quick payouts and bonuses, but BetDSI's live feature allows me to watch my team before I even bet. They even match any deposit you make up to $1,000. So play big, win big, and get paid anytime. Plus, when you sign up for BetDSI.com using our code, you'll get an extra 25%. That's 125% bonus. So join the winning team by signing on at BetDSI.com and use promo code WIN101. You'll more than double your bet. So don't leave money on the table. Visit BetDSI.com and use code WIN101. That's BetDSI.com, promo code WIN101, BETDSI.com, code WIN101.
Let's begin.
This is the Boss.
I'm the Boss.
And the Gloss.
My lip gloss, I only rock clear.
On SB Nation Radio.
And SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Here are your hosts, David Gao and Carla Dawson.
I got that sunshine in my pocket.
So here we go, hour number two. We started down the road of dealing with the Pittsburgh Steelers. So much drama there. We have to save that conversation for after the break because that is...
It's complicated.
It is so complicated. I thought we had drama here amongst the three of us. I mean, Jose is always getting into a fight with you, and then today he and I were arm wrestling. We have nothing like that. Not like the Steelers. Maybe because we have Craig Larson's our Mike Tomlin. I mean, he just... keeps us right on track.
That's right. He's the real boss.
Maybe he's the real boss.
We'll have to ask him.
You know that a study came out today that said that a great measure of heart health is if a man can do 40 push-ups. And I'm thinking Jose can easily do 40.
He's got a members-only jacket. He can do 40 with his eyes closed.
Four?
Maybe if you mean with my eyes closed while I'm asleep, yes. Other than that,
virtual push-ups.
I don't like my chances, yeah.
Well, he's got Glenn now. He needs to be doing push-ups.
He's got a lady friend.
He's got a lady.
Full disclosure, Glenn, we're mentioning her out on the air now. That's a big step in their relationship.
Is it?
I think it's a big step.
I think the DTR is coming.
Yes. Tell us about DTR.
By force.
It's called the Define the Relationship.
Define the Relationship.
It's the talk. The talk.
If you can do 40 push-ups... you can go home to her tonight.
Oh,
I guess I'm spending the night here then.
No.
Okay, we don't want to go there. Like,
really? This is a G-rated show?
No, not spending the night when we haven't had a DTR. That's not how it's going to
be happening. No, I just said he could go over there and see her. I didn't mean spend the night. Look where your mind went.
Yeah, you're taking it somewhere else.
You said it. You two said it. Don't you put me there.
All right.
Jose, I got your back. I just want you to know.
Not much. When we return, we will unpack what's going to happen with Antonio Brown in Pittsburgh. Difficult stretch there. Mike Tomlin's got to figure it all out. We'll ask the Gloss, who's at fault here? Is it Ben or Antonio Brown? When we return on SB Nation Radio.
Birthdays, holidays, anniversaries, whatever the occasion is, Gifting Nap has you covered. Visit GiftingNap.com for great gifts. That's GiftingNap.com, your map to great gifting.
We're from the town with the great football team. We cheer the Pittsburgh Steelers.
There we go, a little Steelers music to introduce our next topic.
And it's happy music, so maybe this will turn the tide.
I don't know, it's going to take a lot of work. It is sort of interesting, we should start this dialogue by going back a few weeks. We were at Radio Row, we were interviewing James Harrison, of course, the legendary player for the Steelers. He's retired. And you asked him about all the drama in the locker room, and he said, oh, there's no drama. He said, I don't see any drama. I just think Le'Veon Bell needed to get paid, is what he said. But now, as weeks have unfolded, I think the gloss was right. You need to call James Harrison and tell him, I had the real intel on what's going on in the Steeler locker room.
I saw the size of his biceps. I think I'm just going to leave that one alone. Whatever James Harrison says is right with me.
Yep. He does his 40 push-ups a day, you think?
Yeah, he's a guy with a heart
with
that is
pinky.
Healthy.
I'm not joking. I mean, these guns are fierce.
He had some guns.
He brought the show.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, man. But he did blame Mike Tomlin, if you remember, in our interview.
Yes, he did.
He said he played favorites.
Right.
He didn't blame him on the drama. He just said he plays favorites. Well, he's okay. Fair.
Yes.
But he has his people.
But let's talk about that, because actually, now you're refreshing me on that. He did say that Tomlin has his favorites. And then in that context, we hear Antonio Brown coming out and saying that Ben Roethlisberger has an owner's mentality, is tied to ownership, and frankly, that Ben really doesn't seem to have some of his players' backs. And if you go against Ben, you are at risk of not getting the ball thrown to you, right?
Yeah, his quote, you know, this is what he said on Twitter. Players know, but they can't say anything about it. Otherwise, their meal ticket is gone.
Mm.
I mean, he's right. If you start just peeling back the layers of the onion and looking what a franchise is supposed to look like, your head coach should be the boss of everybody in that locker room. The quarterback is the face of the franchise.
Right.
And what you've got with Ben Roethlisberger is a guy who has no problem in a history of throwing teammates, coaches, management under the bus. He can diminish other people, and he never has any consequences. Other people within the organization. That's the face of your franchise.
Mm.
So I actually get what Antonio Brown is saying. And he's right. Ben Roethlisberger holds the rock that makes Antonio Brown Antonio Brown.
Right.
So you've never been able to say anything when you're part of the Steelers organization. You've had to sit there and take it.
Yes. So what you just said implies he doesn't think he's going to be part of the Steelers organization anymore. He's burned that bridge.
I think he's burned that bridge because the Steelers aren't getting rid of Ben Roethlisberger. Although they really should think about it. I think they should think about what's going on in the organization. In other words, I think I love Mike Tomlin as a coach. I think he's smart. I think he's level-headed. I think he's really passionate about his players. I think the mistake he's made is he's trusted his players. He's given him too much leeway, and he has trusted them to act professionally. I mean, they are professional football players. Am I right? I mean, they're getting a paycheck, a big fat one, to play this game, you know, America's favorite game.
Right.
But they're not acting it. They're not acting like it. So I'd say it's something with the culture in Pittsburgh that starts from the top down.
Well, they have a culture that has really gone into the toilet now. I mean, honestly, I don't know how you put those pieces back together. Obviously, Bell's going to go. I think you've got to trade Antonio Brown. I think you hope to get some good draft capital back for him. But what can you expect to get for Antonio Brown at this point, given all that he's said? He's obviously a big-time talent. There does seem to be a tolerance in the NFL for diva wide receivers.
Sure.
But diva wide receivers who call out the franchise quarterback, and that's a problem. I mean, I just don't know. I think maybe the Steelers are able to recoup a second-round pick for him.
You know, it's interesting, though, and I hear what you're saying there. I do. But I also look at this franchise quarterback has not been the face of the franchise. If I'm the owner, if I'm the Rooneys, I don't want him talking like that. I want him every year saying, I'm coming back. I'm fired up. He can't make a decision whether he's coming back or not. He's had two sexual assault allegations, rapes over his career. He's been suspended by the NFL for one of them, for four games. What kind of look is this? It's the face of your franchise.
Right.
And Antonio Brown has the talent and the numbers to back it up, to back himself up in this. So, you know, I saw too that it's just getting so middle school. It's getting out of hand. And if you look at a culture where expectations are set, and if they're not met, you're gone. You take a look at New England. I mean, obviously we know that they win. But that culture is not for everybody. And Bill Belichick and Robert Kraft are the boss.
Hmm.
Nobody challenges them. And you look, like you look at, Josh Gordon. I so badly wanted him to have a second chance.
Yep.
And they were willing to give it to him. But I don't know exactly what went on, but it wasn't the Patriot way. Boop, he's gone. If it's Malcolm Butler, I don't know what happened there. But clearly, whatever it was, the Patriots run a tight ship. It's not for every player, but that's what you have to do when you want to be a pillar in the NFL, a winning franchise. The Steelers are just kind of muddling in mediocrity when they've got, look at the talent in the three Bs, in Ben, Brown, and Bell. And it's just blowing up.
So one of the rumors out there is that Antonio Brown will land with the Raiders, a team you follow closely. You like that
birthday
matchup.
It's my birthday. I love it.
Would you give up a second-round pick for Antonio Brown?
Yes.
That will be a high second-round pick, I guess number four overall in the second
yes,
round.
Yes, but I've got three picks in the first round, so I'm feeling good about that.
Okay, yeah, you get your three picks in the first round and Antonio Brown out of that team.
And I said bye-bye to Amari Cooper, which it's looking not so great as that decision. But you got a first-rounder for it, so sure.
Yeah, it's interesting. Of course, you got a late first-rounder, and then you'll use an early second-rounder on Antonio Brown. Probably the difference in total draft picks is about 8 to 10 spots. Have you done better having Antonio Brown than Amari Cooper for 10 spots trade in the draft?
Well, that remains to be seen.
Sure.
But what I do think would be a good fit for Antonio Brown, obviously he doesn't respect the quarterback he has in Pittsburgh.
Yep.
He is liking tweets that are bringing up Roethlisberger's sexual assault allegations from years ago. He's doing that this last week. Derek Carr is class personified. And, you know, hopefully he's still there. I'm going on the fact that he's still going to be there.
Right.
And he's going to have some pieces around him that are going to allow him. Second half of the season, Derek Carr's numbers were great.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that Antonio Brown would appreciate and respect how Derek Carr comports himself as a professional.
Right.
So now he did want to take Max Kellerman in the ring after saying something not nice about it. But other than that, you know, not bad. So I think it'd be a good fit. I would love to see Antonio Brown in Oakland. And believe me, the Oakland fans would love to see Antonio Brown there.
Well, they need some offensive firepower, too. And he would certainly give some juice to that offense. I mean, maybe they get Bell as well. Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown. That would be a heck of a 1-2 punch to add to that Raiders offense.
That would be. That would be. They've got cap room, so I like it.
Well, another team with cap room are the Houston Texans. And they also have draft capital, so their offseason looks to be a very intriguing one. When we come back, we're going to look at – they've got Brian Gaines in there as the GM, and this
is the first
time he really gets to use some draft capital. Last year, he didn't get to pick until the third round. When we come back, we'll look at what the Texans might do this offseason, both in free agency and with the draft. You're listening to the Boston The Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
This is the Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
All right, one of the intriguing offseason stories will be the Houston Texans. They were in the playoffs last year. Were embarrassed by the Colts in the playoffs, but have a chance to right the ship here. I mean, Brian Gaines now stepping in. It's his second draft. He's the general manager, and I think he's got some real pieces to work with. I want to say that when I look back at his draft last year, given what he had to work with was the fact he had no first or second round pick, I thought he brought home a pretty good haul for the Houston Texans.
I love his draft from last year. You know, I wrote down all the pieces he brought in because I thought I want to see. I don't know enough about him yet to see if he's going to be a star. I look at the 7 picks he had. The first one was, you're right, for third round, he took safety Justin Reed out of Stanford. Justin Reed played, this is brother of Eric Reed, who we were talking about earlier in the show.
One of the top rookies of this year.
He had an outstanding rookie year. He did not miss a tackle.
Yeah.
Not one single tackle. Ran an interception back for a touchdown. He played like a first-round pick. It was a great pickup. And then, you know, we got a couple tight ends. The Texans got a couple tight ends in Jordan Akins and Jordan Thomas. Wide receiver Kiki Kuti. Their guard, Martinez Rankin, he played and was great. We needed him to fill in. Then outside linebacker Duke Ejiofor. And inside linebacker Peter Columbia, also from Stanford. Late in the 6th round, and he was a contributor. Every single guy they drafted contributed in a positive way to the Texans. I just think he really nailed it. I don't think the Texans used the tight ends as much as they could, and Kiki Kuti was injured quite a bit, But as far as talent, he's got an eye for it. And if this draft is anything like what we have to look forward to, I'm excited for the Texans.
Yeah, those two tight ends, Jordan Akins and Jordan Thomas, showed flashes. Kiki, I like to call him Kiki Kuti. You go with Kiki Kuti, but I'm going to go with Kuti.
I like Kuti. That sounds sophisticated.
Kiki Kuti, a wide receiver they drafted in the fourth round, and he showed some flashes too when healthy. So that's a pretty good haul for a guy who didn't get to draft in the first two rounds. Now, looking ahead, the Texans have the 23rd pick in the first round and then back-to-back picks in the second round with number 54 and 55. Everybody thinks they want to go O-line.
They need to go O-line and cornerbacks.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got cornerbacks that I love in Kareem Jackson and Jonathan Joseph, but we need faster, we need stronger, we need younger.
Okay.
You know, just to complement already what they have.
Well, and they have a lot of salary cap room to spend as well. If they want to sign Bell for the running back position, that's great. Interestingly,
they have the sixth most salary like a fruit, vegetable, whatever it is. Sixth most salary cap in the NFL right now.
Well, and
available.
Looming out there is Trent Brown, the left tackle, mm-hmm. the Super Bowl winning left tackle for the Patriots. Texans desperately need some help on that O-line. Is Trent Brown someone you'd consider going after?
Yes.
I mean, the only thing that gives me pause is, of course, a year prior, Nate Solder, left tackle for the Patriots, was signed by the Giants for a mild fortune.
$64 million.
Yeah, he didn't even really perform that well for them. I don't know that that means Trent Brown will not perform well for his next team. But Brown is a free agent. Knowing the Patriots' history, they're not going to pay him big top dollar.
Right.
Not the top dollar that he can get out on the market. So, yeah, Trent Brown is likely to go be a starting left tackle somewhere else.
And that's the position to me that's most important. They have got to protect the franchise and Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it. And, you know, there's question now. Tomorrow, franchise tags can start. Jadeveon Clowney, you know, whispers that he's going to be franchise tagged by the Texans. What do you think?
Well, I think that's a perfect fit, a great way to handle Clowney. He's too big of a talent to let walk at this point.
Oh, yes, he is.
Yet he's not really fully proven to say, let's give him the big long-term payday. The problem, of course, there have been questions about his work ethic. He's had trouble being healthy sometimes.
In the beginning of his career,
but when he's on, when he's healthy, when he's right, he can be a dominant force on that defense. There's just too much talent to let him go.
Well, there is, and he was in the draft with Khalil Mack and Aaron Donald, and they got paid handsomely this past season. And I think the Texans would not be opposed to paying Jadeveon Clowney, but I think they want another chance, one more year, to see if he's worth that fat contract that Mack and Donald are earning. And it allows Bill O'Brien and Brian Gain to now see how he performs, because under the franchise tag, he would be getting about $1 million a game. And how do you perform when you're bringing in that type of money? Are you not a Johnny Hustle? Or are you?
I tell you what, $1 million a game, that has such a nice ring to it. I mean, you're going to get $1 million for your radio show.
How about that? You are my boss. Are you giving me some good news on air?
Well, I just...
Jose, am I worth
right.
it?
All right. Let's announce this all together, Jose. Should we announce it to Carla? She's getting $1 million a show.
Oh, boy. What am I getting?
Well, it's a little different. 40 push-ups, and then you can do it. Then you get the big money.
You're getting Glianne. That's
I'll
worth way more than $1 million. You're welcome.
One other Texans question. The honey badger, who was...
Yes, yes, yes.
He brought a lot of energy and hustle and leadership to that Texans defense. He is a free agent, and there are whispers that Atlanta will lure him over, that he'll end up somewhere else. You'd hate to see him go.
I would hate to see him go. And I'm going to believe that the Texans see his value on and off the field and in that locker room. I want the honey badgers in a Houston Texans uniform again.
All right, other NFL aspects, as we look toward the draft, it's really intriguing to see. We got the combine coming up. Marquise Brown, the great wide receiver out of Oklahoma, has a foot injury, so he will not participate. But he's a guy, a wide receiver talent, that will likely go in the top 15 or 20 picks in the NFL draft. Sorry to see him not perform at the combine. Another guy who will not be at the combine and is an intriguing question mark is Mississippi State defensive lineman Jeffrey Simmons. This is a guy who is clearly a top 10 talent just based on what he did in the SEC the last 3 years. He was outstanding for Mississippi State, But there are two big flags on him. One, of course, is that video of him punching a woman during a fight. This goes way back to his senior year in high school, so it's several years ago. But the video's out there, and boy, those things are hard to etch from everyone's memory.
Visuals are tough. You can't get them out of your mind.
And he's really, well, he's a big guy punching a woman who was sort of defenseless lying on the ground. It was very hard to understand how anybody could be in that spot. I mean, you could say that about any time a man's hitting a woman. But you look at this video, and it's just inexplicable why he's pounding on a woman down on the ground.
It's also inexplicable to me while there are about 40 people standing around watching the entire thing go on.
Yeah, it's a disturbing video.
It's really disturbing. I don't like it. But, you know, back to Jeffrey Simmons, I think the bigger issue, I mean, that's a huge issue. That was
several
in high
years
school.
Ago.
It was, and I would want to talk to, I mean, his coaches in Starksville.
And
I mean,
actually, they stand behind him. They say that he was somebody who really has been a great person on that team. They would vouch for his character at this point.
And you know, the NFL is a very forgiving league when you're a star.
Right.
I mean, very forgiving.
Well, he's a top 10 talent. He is a star.
Yeah, he is.
However, there's another flag on him. He has torn his ACL. So he probably will not be able to play his entire rookie season. It's almost a redshirt year, his first year in the NFL.
Yes. And you know, that there are so many ACL injuries, I mean, in sports all across the league, that it's not devastatingly, it's not going to happen injury. Todd Gurley had an ACL, Jalen Smith, and look, they landed in great places and are having fantastic careers. He would have to be drafted to me, Jeffrey Simmons, to a team that doesn't need him right away.
Right.
But that has the luxury, like Dallas did with Jalen Smith, that the Rams did with Gurley, to wait a season and be sure that he's going to rehab and then plug him in year two.
Well, there are whispers in Dallas. For whatever reason, over the last few years, the Cowboys have usually taken a chance in the second round. So
Miles Jack is another one.
If you look back, Miles Jack was a chance, yes, that the Jaguars took. He was rehabbing and he came back. Cowboys, well, when they drafted Sean Lee, he was coming off of an ACL injury. When they drafted Randy Gregory, he had issues with substance abuse.
Has issues with substance
and still does. And when they drafted Jalen Smith, he had his injury playing in his final game for Notre Dame. So they have taken chances in the second round. And, of course, they're drafting later in the second round. And so there have been whispers that they would look at a Jeffrey Simmons. Now, but they do need – the thing is, of course, they need some additional help this year to have – I think the biggest issue for them is – having a redshirt player when they're not going to have a first-round pick. Of course, their first-round pick
Yeah, you're asking
Amari
them
Cooper.
To do a lot. They take a lot of concessions.
And so then, yes, they won't have a first-round pick. They'll have to take well, in this case, they take Simmons, and they wouldn't get any contribution from their second round this year, and they really wouldn't get a contributor until the third round. So that would be a hard thing when they're really counting on activity and growth and development this year because they think they're poised – to play well, play deep into the playoffs, and this could be Jason Garrett's final season with the Cowboys. If he doesn't deliver this year, I think Jerry Jones will be looking for a new head coach.
What do you think they're going to do with Dak Prescott's contract? Amari Cooper's going to want to get paid too.
Yeah, well, you've got Cooper, you've got Prescott, you've got Ezekiel Elliott. Remember, Elliott and Prescott drafted in the same draft class. Elliott, of course, was in the first round. So
fourth pick, and Prescott fourth round.
Fourth round, that's right. So they are in different cycles. I mean, you've got an extra year, the option year, with the guys who you draft in the first round. But no, those are all guys they want to keep. And the good news for the Cowboys is they have plenty of cap space. I mean, they're such a young team now. They don't have those long, big veteran contracts. Frankly, the one thing they might do this offseason, which would be an emotionally difficult step, is to look hard at Sean Lee. So Sean Lee is 32 years old. He counts $7 million under the salary cap this year. And with the rise of Jalen Smith
and
the rise of Leighton Vander Esch and the lack of durability for Sean Lee, I mean, it's hard to pay somebody $7 million when he's only typically able to play about half a season. So I think what the Cowboys would love to do with him is get him to take a lower salary, come back, and be a contributor as part of a rotation, not depend on him physically so much, and then, frankly, not to have to spend so much money on the cap with him. So they might be able to free up some dollars with Sean Lee. But the Cowboys really are in good cap position because the team is so young. They have the capacity to pay a lot of those guys, and really they need to pay them all. They can't lose a Cooper, a Prescott, or an Elliott at this spot.
No, that's right.
Cole Beasley is the other tough decision. Beasley is a free agent, and they paid him about $3.2 million last year. I think he's going to look to get a little bit more money, but he's in his early 30s too, so he's on the tail end of his best years. Beasley's going to have to come back at a reasonable price for the Cowboys to keep him. Tavon Austin is their other slot guy, and with both Austin and Beasley potentially going, they're both free agents, Cowboys could be looking for a slot receiver in the draft this year.
Do you think Kellen Moore is the answer at OC?
Well, we will
develop Dak Prescott.
Kellen Moore needs to deliver, otherwise Jason Garrett's not going to be the answer at head coach next year.
That's a fact.
All right, when we return, we will have our award-winning He Said, She Said segment on the Boston Gloss of SB Nation Radio.
Gifting Map is your map for great gifts. Head over to giftingmap.com today. This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow and Carla Dawson.
All right, we've been looking forward to this, our famous He Said, She Said segment, where we take a look at what sports luminaries have said during the course of the week, and we dissect them. Let's begin with Steph Curry. He was mic'd up ahead of the All-Star game, and this is what he had to say about James Harden.
It's interesting, though, because like, I was talking to James, in fact, like, obviously complimenting him on what he's done. Yeah. The first thing he said was, like, yeah, it's fun, but I want to play different. Like,
yeah.
Like, I'm by myself, whatever, hero ball. But, like, if people want to play like that, it's a system where they actually can play beautiful basketball.
Yeah, like, it's such a beautiful sport.
Guys know how to play.
It's interesting for him to say that. Like, I would not have thought he.
I would like, yeah, like, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Appreciate that.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep doing that. He's like.
I love that. You know, obviously Steph Curry knows he's mic'd up. He's in the middle of the court talking to his coach, Mike Budenholzer, and having that he relaying his conversation with James Harden, saying, hey, congratulations, your year is amazing. And James Harden saying, I don't want to do this anymore. Like, no more hero ball. Because, you know, Harden is getting a lot of complaints across the league that this is boring basketball. You're watching him ISO, you know, and not get in. You know, boring basketball, whatever. He just tied Will Chamberlain for the, you know, 31 consecutive point streak. And I think what Steph Curry, he knew he was mic'd up, was saying, hey, this guy doesn't want to play hero ball. He wants it to be different. He wants his players to be involved. But when you look at what's been going on with the Rockets, they have half of their bench is on the, you know, injured list. So he's having to play hero ball, and he's gifted with the talent that he's able to. But Harden wants the system to be different. So to me, Steph Curry was doing him a solid and saying, I want everyone to know what this guy's about.
No, what Harden has done is really remarkable.
It's remarkable.
He's done it when he had to. You know, that sort of step back three that he's shooting.
Oh, my gosh.
Now some are equating to other great shots. I mean, Kareem had the sky hook. Well, Hakeem Olajuwon had his
dream shake,
and Michael Jordan, the fadeaway jumper. James Harden's step back three is that kind of a shot. It's a memorable shot, and he's delivering it with great consistency.
And give it to Curry, class personified, of course, calling out an MVP. I love it.
All right, let's go to our second one. Despite being in his second year playing in Sacramento, Houston native De'Aaron Fox says that he's not so enamored with In-N-Out burgers. He's got a different preference of burgers.
Yeah, I'm from Texas.
I know. So what makes Whataburger better than In-N-Out?
Well, one, I wouldn't eat the burgers at Whataburger. You got to get something with chicken. But one is open 24 hours, you know what I'm saying, after any type of game, everybody going. Whataburger is better than In-N-Out. It's not the fact that I would compare Whataburger to In-N-Out. It's just the fact that In-N-Out is not good. Like, it's a lot of burger places that I would eat over In-N-Out.
Water chicken or honey butter chicken biscuit?
Honey butter chicken biscuit for sure.
Well, now I know you're a honey butter chicken biscuit kind of person, are you not?
I am not, because
really?
I'm a California girl, so I'm the exact opposite of De'Aaron Fox, which is such a bummer because I love me some De'Aaron Fox. But being from California, I am an In-N-Out girl, and I have never gravitated to the honey butter chicken biscuits or Whataburger. Isn't that terrible?
Well, I'm going to pass on the honey butter chicken biscuits as well. I might like another peanut butter sandwich cookie, but that's another matter. I'm going to actually go with, well, we had Dale Murphy in hour number one. He talked about his restaurant, Murph's, in Atlanta, and there are bourbon bacon burgers. I'll go with those.
Okay, that's a deal.
But I'm glad De'Aaron Fox loves his Whataburger.
He's staying loyal to his Texas roots.
All right, let's go to Nuggets head coach Michael Malone when he explained what he used at halftime as motivation to rally Team LeBron.
You know, what really happened was I was in the coach's locker room, and Bron asked if the team could go out and watch the J. Cole concert. And I said, listen, I'll let you guys go watch the concert if you promise to get your ass back in transition. And so LeBron made my words known. They watched the concert, and they came out and played great.
Well,
that's all it takes.
So LeBron, I've got a question. Yes. Who do we give credit to? Malone for letting them watch the halftime show, or J. Cole for putting on such a performance that motivated them?
We're giving it to J. Cole.
J. Cole.
So should J. Cole have won the MVP award of the All-Star game?
Jose, you're on to something. I like it. That would have been a great twist for the All-Star
game.
That
would have been awesome. It actually would have fit within the whole sort of Hollywood show.
Oh, yeah. Jose. Chuck went up for you.
All right, well, let's go to the guy who did win the MVP, Kevin Durant. He explained, well, what it meant to be the All-Star Game MVP, Kevin Durant.
It's all sweet to me. I mean, it's hard to rank. You know, everything is special. But it's cool to be out there with some of the best players that ever played a game and to win an MVP in front of my family and friends is pretty sweet. So,
okay.
You speak for the Warriors here.
I speak for the Warriors. I'm a homie girl.
Yes.
And let me tell you why I love this. I think this could help the Warriors in keeping Durant in Oakland.
Keep hope alive.
Well, it's going to be San Francisco because they're going to open the Chase Center.
Okay.
So, to me, Durant comes willingly to Golden State, happily to Golden State, but it's Curry's team. It's not that Curry demands that. It's that the team has been built around Curry and Klay and Draymond, but Steph is the main guy. Well, the front office has talked about it being Curry's team, even as Durant is holding an MVP trophy for the second year in a row as an NBA champion this past June. Now he's in Charlotte, hometown of Steph, homecoming, playing in the All-Star game, and guess what? This is his. It's his game. It's his team. It's his trophy. It's his deal. So I think he got a taste of that. And you know what? No one was happier for him than his teammates, Steph and Klay and everybody else. So I think it's good.
I remember when they had their championship celebration last year, you felt like Kevin Durant might have felt a little small relative to that whole team. And yes, it was a chance to come out of his shadow, Curry's shadow, yesterday in the All-Star game.
And KD needs that, and he deserves that. It's okay.
All right, let's go to Dwayne Wade on how special his last All-Star game was.
This one was special, and, you know, it's supposed to be that way, you think, right, to go out to last year. But, you know, I think I'm just thankful for the NBA for making sure and accommodating everything that you know, I wanted, the things that I didn't even think I needed or wanted. They provided. My team did an amazing job, my family. So I couldn't ask for anything more this weekend. It definitely was my most enjoyable. People like to say, what's your most? This one will take place now as my most memorable and most enjoyable All-Star.
Adam Silver is solid gold. Mm. He put Dwayne Wade and Dirk Nowitzki on that squad. Absolutely, he should have done it.
Yes.
And it was so moving. I loved all the pageantry around them.
Right.
They showed the video of the two of them talking at the beginning of the All-Star game. It was taped before, just talking about what basketball has meant to them, the All-Star game. It was really special. I got a little teary-eyed. It was awesome. And they both shined, you know, especially Dirk didn't have a lot of minutes, but hit three consecutive threes. Beautiful. It just was.
And then
was
he went
great.
Limping back up the court. I know, poor guy, but he did. He shot well. And look, I agree. I think it's really fun. It's nostalgic to see these guys, and they had their moments. I mean, Dwayne Wade's pass to LeBron up against.
Beautiful.
It was just perfect. It was a great way for them to end. And I think this needs to be an annual tradition. There needs to be sort of a legend pick every year, or two legend picks every year. And that would be a great way to honor the best players in the game in what would probably be their final year.
Right. I say big win for the NBA this weekend. It was just a fantastic showing.
All right, let's go to Tim Tebow, who offered some advice for Kyler Murray. Murray, of course, had a choice between football and baseball, and this is what Tim Tebow advised him to do.
Kyler, I think, is a really good young man, and I think it's a really tough decision for him. You know, I think he loves two sports, and I can really relate to that. And, you know, he went with something that he's been really good at lately and dominating. And, you know, when we talked about it and we did talk about that, I just gave him the advice to follow your heart. Whatever you're passionate about, you know, don't do it for your agents or your friends, and sometimes necessarily even your family. You know, do it for what's on your heart, and don't let other people define you. And you're going to have all these coaches that you look up to, and everybody else that's going to tell you what they think. But what's most important is following your heart and your passion. And so, I don't know. Hopefully, he did that.
Hard to argue against Tim Tebow.
What can you add to that?
Right,
he's spot on. And clearly he's done the same thing.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it wasn't that long ago that Kyler Murray was a struggling college quarterback.
At A&M.
At A&M, and he had to transfer. You know, he was a five-star rivals guy, much heralded recruit to go into A&M. Nothing worked right. He transferred to Oklahoma, and Lincoln Riley resurrected his career. Great, great year, Heisman year. But it is interesting to remember that it wasn't that long ago that his whole collegiate football career was a big, big disappointment. And so it would make sense at that moment to go into baseball. But obviously things are different a year later.
Right. I mean, he was sharing quarterback duties at A&M with Kyle Allen and Jake Hubenak.
Excuse me? Who?
And now we've got a right. Heisman Trophy winner that, you know, we've got the Oakland A's and every NFL team salivating over.
Yep.
So,
yep.
Wow, it just shows you getting in the right system with the right coach makes a big difference.
All right, there's this basketball player. He plays for Duke. I think his first name's Zion. Have you ever heard of him?
Gosh, it sounds really familiar.
Well,
Mount Zion. Wow.
He's caught the eye of Coach Dabo Swinney at
Clemson. Whose eye hasn't he caught? You seen this guy?
I know. He's amazing.
He's incredible.
But of course, Dabo's a football coach, and Zion plays basketball. But Dabo says he's ready to change that. Let's hear what he had to say.
The only guy that I think could be better than him as a freshman is the Zion kid you got. I put him at tight end or wide out or D end or wherever he wanted to play. I might even put him at quarterback.
You'd run the Wildcat. You'd run the Wildcat. Yeah.
Put in the Wildcat, no doubt, no doubt.
Well, that, I mean, there he is. Look.
Dabo's right. The size of this guy is incredible. He could be slotted in a defensive end.
I'd put him
tight end.
Tight end. And he would block everybody out, make big catches. He would be Gronk on steroids. I mean, it would be fantastic.
I am quite sure he could easily go to football. But I think he's got a pretty bright future in basketball. I'm not too worried about it. But Dabo Swinney is a master recruiter. He knows talent when he sees it.
Yes, maybe it's not too late.
Maybe it's not too late.
I think Zion's going to be playing in the NBA next year.
I just have a feeling you're right.
All right, we got one more. And this is from Giancarlo Stanton. And he was asked a question today about, look, everybody in sports is being asked questions about Colin Kaepernick. And Stanton, a baseball player, was asked about Kaepernick and his football career.
No. I think they're completely different, but maybe it'll change or remove a couple of things for the NFL, but for ours, I don't see real correlation.
Some brazen reporter thought he would just go out of the box and ask Giancarlo Stanton, MVP, home run leader, superstar Yankee. So Colin Kaepernick settled his collusion case. How do you think that's going to affect free agent movement in baseball?
I don't think that applies.
I'll be darned. And if you see it, it's hilarious. Giancarlo Stanton is just looking at him like, wow, did he really just ask me that question?
I think we're in a place where the media just wants to talk about Kaepernick.
They were just trying to be cute. They were trying to get a funny reaction out of Stanton. At least that's what I feel like it was. They were trying to get a laugh from out of Stanton.
He wasn't laughing.
No. No,
and I don't blame him. I would be like, this is the first day of spring training, dude. I'm trying to talk baseball, and what are you bringing that in for?
Right.
Yeah, he didn't look amused at all. So I'm in Stanton's camp.
All right, that's the he said version of it. When we come back, we will wrap up the show by taking a look at what we've learned from the gloss when we return on SB Nation Radio.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Oh, so many things to say, so little time, all the things I learned from you. I've got seven. I'm going to run through them.
Got it.
Number one, Sonia Curry. You like her shot.
She rocks. Hashtag mom goals for me.
Mom gold, absolutely. Second, Jose over there. 40 push-ups, and if so, he gets to go out with his girl tonight.
Gleanne,
I was about to call her Glenda the Good Witch. I was in the neighborhood. It's Gleanne, right?
Gleanne.
Okay. Third, MLB in the big stalemate between the teams and the players, those who have not signed, you're saying to the players, take the money.
The money's there. Grab it.
Let's go to the fate of Le'Veon Bell and the Houston Texans. You're saying to Bill O'Brien, grab him.
Marriage made in heaven.
Marriage made in heaven? That would really round out that offense, wouldn't it?
It would do it.
All right, let's go to another one. The All-Star Game MVP, Kevin Durant. You like the choice, and you like what it might mean for him.
I do. I think he got the boost he needed. Please stay in Oakland.
If you were forming a football team and Zion was available to you, Zion Williams, would you take him for your team, and what position would you play?
Tight end.
You want him as
and
your
I
tight
would
end?
Take him.
You would take him.
I trust Dabo.
Yeah, well,
in Dabo we trust.
Okay. Whataburger or In-N-Out burgers?
Not even a question. In-N-Out.
She goes for the In-N-Out
burgers. All day long. All night long. In-N-Out.
You know, you have affiliates listening to you here in Houston where Whataburgers are a mainstay.
I know, but I'm a native Californian.
Fair enough.
Staying with my roots.
All right. And lastly, Colin Kaepernick was never that good of a football player, was he?
He was.
He
in
was.
In 2013, yes.
Okay.
He was.
But
and then he got figured out and couldn't adjust.
Will he play again in the NFL?
As a starter or backup?
Backup.
No.
Okay, you heard it from the gloss. There it is. You've been listening to The Boss and the Gloss. Be sure to stay tuned because the gold standard's coming up next. It's Alex Gold up next on SB Nation Radio.